Hello, my name's Andrea, and I own One's Wellbeing, and I work from the Wellness Barn in Market Wheaton, and I work closely with Jackie Gunn, who has created the Talking for Loss charity, which is an absolutely amazing charity. So we're working closely together because obviously it's a times we're in at the moment where everybody's a little bit glum and struggling mentally and physically, trying to keep fit and healthy. So today, I just really wanted to talk about midsection weight gain and why we get this weight gain and why we struggle with weight loss. So I guess my niche area that I want people to listen to are those ladies in midlife or perimenopause, going through the menopause or being past the menopause, because this all affects our hormones, which is obviously a major thing as we're coming into a different life cycle as well. So there's really, I suppose, five reasons why what I want to talk about today. And reason one being our metabolic rate becomes a lot slower as we enter into the menopause phase. So because of this, we need to obviously look at how many calories we're consuming a day and obviously keep the levels at a average, what feels right for you. And obviously there's a lot of scales out there to work out your average calorie loss. So I'm not going to go into that because it just gets way too complicated and confusing. But basically, we're probably looking at the average woman to be on around 1700 to 2000 calories a day. So we want to really be looking at a deficit of maybe 200 calories less if you're 40 plus. And the key thing to obviously get the metabolism going and get the digestive system working for you is to do some strength training. Regular strength training is absolutely crucial for us ladies. Now, when I say strength training, a lot of you will be like, oh, shock horror. I'm going to bulk up. That's not for me. It's really not the case at all. I've been in the fitness industry for many, many years, 25 years plus, and I've seen a lot of changes. And what's happening at the minute is women are very switched on to their training methods. Everybody's getting into strength training. A lot of ladies you'll see probably doing the CrossFit, which is quite strong form of training. It's brilliant, but everybody's different for what they want, and this doesn't mean that you have to start lifting these massive weights. It doesn't mean you got to buy all the kit and really spend a lot of money on what you need to do. If you start with small goals, maybe 30 minutes a day of what you can do. So looking at mobilizing the body, and this is something I'll talk about or I can do on my YouTube channel. So we need to mobilize the body, we need to mobilize the joints, obviously get the body prepped, the muscles prepped, and the brain prepped for your session. And then it's a case of lifting those medium weights. So staying away from the really light weights, because you're not going to achieve anything. If we want to be lifting the weights, we need to be looking at something where we can feel challenged. We're looking at 2 to 3 sets. And as you get into the last part of your training, your last set, even if you can't complete it, then you know that you've got a really good weight there. And obviously strength training the whole body as well, getting some cardiovascular blasts in there as well. So what a lot of women tend to do is obviously they look at the cardio and it just goes from one extreme to the other. Excessive cardiovascular training is not healthy, more so when you're in the menopausal stage of your life, 40 plus, because the body reacts completely different. Hormone levels different. There's a far more lot of changes going on, which means the body has to work extra hard, and obviously it's increasing the stress levels. So it's all about short, sharp bursts of exercise, building up to it, not setting yourself to go too many goals that are, you're not able to achieve straight away, and it is just about building it up. The second one, obviously, is the hormonal changes. I mean, this is absolutely massive. I mean, we go through life ups and downs, and obviously it's a big joke for a lot of us, but it's quite a serious thing, and how your hormones are going to really affect you as you're coming into that later life cycle. And because of these hormone changes, your metabolism is slowing down, your body's starting to store extra fat. And if you're getting to the point where you want to lose the weight and you're eating less, and it has an adverse effect on the body, because it's a negative effect in that the body starts to store more and more fat. And obviously, as women, we're more prone to hold fat around the abdominal area, around the pelvis, around the glutes, because that's where we're designed for, you know, obviously having babies and being strong in that area as well. And obviously exercise is a key. You know, we need to be doing that exercise, even if it's just walking for 30 minutes a day, you know, thinking about your breathing while you're walking, enjoying where you are, if it's on a treadmill, if you're outside, you know, obviously you can't, getting out in nature is absolutely brilliant because it's great for the mind as well. Gets you out of the house, gets you out of the office if you're still working, and it's something that's really important to really focus on increasing those endorphins, those serotonin levels to make you feel better and make you feel good and enjoy your exercise. It shouldn't have to be a chore. You've got to enjoy what you're doing because the end goal is really worthwhile working towards as well if you can get there. Number three would be stress. More like stressful eating as much as anything. You know, as our mood swings, we have the effects of the irregular hormones. So we're sad, we're happy, we're angry, we're ecstatic, you know, we're one extreme to another. And stress is a major player in this as well. Are we getting our work-life balance? So the biggest player in here is your cortisol levels. And obviously, as you every time you eat as well, you increase your insulin, you increase your cortisol levels. Cortisol is natural in the body because it's our flight or fight for our nervous system. But we need to look at, do we eat because we're stressed? And this is a big thing. And, you know, are we overwhelmed by things that we can't control? So we choose eating as an option to release. And being mindfulness about what we're doing about that. You know, do we realize what we're eating? Because it's very easy to keep snacking through the day. And before you know it, you've consumed quite a lot of calories. And if you're not burning it off, or then you're eating more on top of that, then you're in an, you know, you're in that hamster on a wheel. You're eating, you can't get it off, you're eating it because we're not looking at what's maybe causing you to eat. So obviously looking at the stressful eating as well. Number four is being less active. You know, let's make these lifestyle changes. This last year has, you know, really made a lot of us realize what we need to appreciate. And it's made a lot of us have to change our lifestyle habits, our work-life balance habits as well. So again, being active wherever you can, 30 minutes a day minimum, just getting up, walking around the kitchen, doing some squats, some lunges, waiting for the kettle to boil. You know, it's just something as simple as that. You know, setting yourself a mobility exercise, 5, 10 minutes a day. I'm going to put some of those on my YouTube channel. It's great. You know, it just gets the body moving. Really gets you aware of how you've woken up, how you're feeling, and checking in. And then you can carry on the day and obviously keep being aware of how you're feeling through the day, which is really important. Plan that exercise. You know, wake up, okay, so I'm going to do this mobility when I wake up in the morning. Midday, do something. Afternoon, do something on an evening. Set it down, write it down. Then you're more committed when you see it down on paper instead of just doing those little points in your head. Write it down, get a highlighter, put it on the fridge, put it on the notice board, somewhere where you can see it and you can remind yourself of it. Maybe even on the cupboard where you're keeping the cakes and biscuits, you know, drawing yourself away from them. So five is losing the muscle mass. Obviously, as the hormones change, our body starts to transition into a different life cycle, things start to decrease. Losing muscle mass is a key one. This is where we feel we're getting all the saggy skin, and ladies complain about the bingo wings and, you know, obviously the saggy belly and the kangaroo pouch, which is all sorts of references towards these areas. So again, this is where your strength training comes in, your core comes in. And obviously, as you focus more on your core, then you're thinking more about your pelvic floor health as well. So Pilates is absolutely brilliant for that. I teach Pilates and I focus loads on the core and the pelvic floor. A key thing, you know, we've all been told to do it when we've had our babies, and we forget the minute we get home because we're back into that life cycle of home life, work, looking after the kids. So maybe, you know, take a moment and refresh on your pelvic floor, look up some exercises, Google it, go on YouTube. There's a lot of stuff out there. It's really important that we look after our pelvic floor health as well. These are just muscles like the rest of the body, and if you don't use them, they're going to get loose, and that's when we get those leakage problems. And obviously using the core muscles is a base for all your posture work as well. So posture is a key thing. Just being aware of how we hold ourselves as well. So a very brief talk. I mean, obviously, it's a massive subject and there's a lot of stuff out there as well, but I'm just talking from my experience. I'm 50 now and I've had a lot of the symptoms, but I believe that through my healthy eating and my exercise, and I take a few herbal supplements as well, which I've not gone into because obviously I don't want to. It's a massive thing as well. Each to their own on that one. Everybody has their own personal preferences. But for me, it was just taking the magnesium, the cod liver oil, the sage tablets and the vitamin C, drinking plenty of water, eating a healthy diet, and I make sure I exercise regular. It really is a no-brainer. You've just got to give yourself that willpower to do it. Find that willpower, set it all out and commit to it. It doesn't have to be a massive thing. And once you start getting into the habit of getting into a regular mindful eating, mindful exercise, you know, it can really start to change your lives. Well, thank you for listening. I hope I haven't waffled too much. I'll be doing some more podcasts just on other subjects. So keep checking in on the website, keep checking in on Tal as well. Jackie's going to very kindly put this on her podcast as well on her website. So take care, everybody, and I hope to speak to you all soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.